talk about Selichos. Now, by the way, when is Rosh Hashanah? What day of the week?
Monday, Tuesday.
So we start a week before. Okay, so we have
Labor Day weekend.
Adam la'omol yulat.
2 weeks from this show.
So, 2 weeks. Okay, and what about Sukkot? So we have three holidays. Sukkot.
Monday, Tuesday.
Yom Kippur is Wednesday. Okay. Everything is right smack in the middle of the week. Right. Throws you off. So let's throws you off a little bit, quite a bit.
Next year too.
Not if you retire. Unless she comes up every late.
Next year's there. Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Middle of the World Series. Okay, so let's discuss Slichas. What is the earliest makar to recite Slichas? The earliest source that we should recite Slichas. Try to guess. Who is the first person to say Slichas? Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayichal Moshe Espanei Hashem Elokav. After Klai shall worship the eagle, Moshe Rabbeinu Vayichal Moshe. So after a whole year of doing Averos, we have no choice. We follow in the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu. Slichas has good precedent from Moshe Rabbeinu. Who else do we learn Slichas from? Another very in Chazal is very much related to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezra HaSofer. Okay, in Sefer Ezra, when he comes to Eretz Yisrael and he sees the incredible intermarriage rate, he was shocked, and he gave Klal Yisrael very harsh mussar, and he separated them from one of them, and he forced them to divorce their non-Jewish wives, and then he gave forth a very long, passionate prayer to ask Hashem for mechila for the terrible sins that were taking place. So we have here two very early sources which Chazal quote that during these days when we're mevakesh v'chem shporchu slicha mechila, we have to follow in the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu and in the ways of Ezra HaSofer. Chazal tell us no one should make a mistake and think they're exempt from slichos. Even big Talmidei Chachamim, Shetarasam Unasam, they learn and they feel that saying slichos bittul Torah. If any person is on such a madrigal where every second counts and they're learning Torah, but it's still not an excuse. We find even the biggest Gedolei Yisrael, they would mevakel from Talmud Torah in order to recite slichos.
Well, many yeshivas, they say selective.
The yeshivas, look, I know, I used to daven in a certain shul, so the slichos took 20 minutes. And they said everything. The whole slichos never took more. They didn't even allow on the calendar, on the Zman, more than 20 minutes. And that's very true. No, they said everything. And then I daven in yeshiva. Slichos, they only said the pizmoin. But slichos took close to 40 minutes. So who came out ahead? Okay, so they said nothing. They say Ashrei. They say you say the way it's supposed to say. You say the words. They said the pizmon, and it took 40. It takes about 35-40 minutes. And the regular shul takes 20 minutes. And there in the regular shul they say everything, but it has mamish no time, just the gallop. So even though you know you make a little time, Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Erev Rosh Hashanah, they only say, let's say, they say two slichas. But how long does it take Erev Rosh Hashanah? It takes a good, it takes
an hour and a half.
It takes an hour and a half. So in yeshiva, it does take an hour and a half. It takes about 45 minutes. So the only day that you do come out ahead, Chaim Berlin, is Erev Rosh Hashanah. They say, no, they just say two. They say, Zechora, Chamech, and
they say very few
slichas. Who says very few slichas?
Lubavitch.
Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Aser Yom Kippur. Tshuva. Okay, some say just the opposite. The only time they say slichas will come too soon is only to say during the Aser Yom Tshuva. We have whatever it is, but this is slichas. There's no excuse to say not to say slichas. Even someone who's to the Mepharshim make that point. Even someone who's Torasai Umnasai and they view it to be bittul Torah, they would otherwise be sitting the time learning in Torah. It does not matter. The slichas is no better than Moshe Rabbeinu, we know better than Ezra HaSofer to devote time of the year to be mispalta HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us for our sins. Now, what are the Iker Slichas? So many of us are misled to believe that the Iker Slichas are the Pizmainim. The Pizmainim, the part where the Shliach Tzibur recites the sentence, what? The sections where the Shliach Tzibur says one line and we respond pasuk by pasuk. So that's the Iker. That is the most insignificant part of the slichas. The part of the slichas is the part in between. By that, that's the part in between, the little piece in between. Those, the, but the real part, the main part of the slichas, to say the yud gimel midos sarachamim. Everything else is just packaging. Well, some say that the Kaddish, some say that really also part of the main part of the Slichas, is very interesting, is to say the first Kaddish, the Chatzi Kaddish in the beginning, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabbah, but you can't say Chatzi Kaddish unless you first say Ashrei. So the Ashrei is only there in order that you can say the Chatzi Kaddish. The Chatzi Kaddish is very significant, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabbah. We all know the things that we say in the Kaddish are very important. And then, of course, the Yud, the Gimel, Midus Sarachmim, that is the Ikar Shebi Karim, and everything else is nice packaging. Now, with regard to the piyutim, so here in this sefer, I'm reading from over here. First of all, what does it mean? What is the translation of the word pizmain? Okay, the pizmain is the part that no one skips. That's the part, that is the centerpiece of the slichus, where you respond line by line from the chasm. What is the translation of the word pizmain? It's a very hard word to translate. The primogodim translates it from the word means pizirois unedivos, which means to the dispersal. What does it mean dispersal? So he explains. When we say slichos, we ask forgiveness for, the main part of slichos is to ask forgiveness for our sins. Chotosi avisi poshati. What are we really trying to do when we say slichos? Forgive us. We have sinned throughout the year and we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us for our sins. Then, afterwards, we get a little carried away. Ribbono Shel Olam, once you've already forgiven us for our sins, maybe you can help us with parnasa. With shidduchim, parnasa, refuah, a couple of more things. And then, we really get wild and we start asking for things that are totally unrelated. That's where the pizmoinim come in. The pizmoinim, ruba de ruba, don't focus on slicha, on forgiveness. Don't focus on ikram. They focus on other themes. They're flowery there. They focus on amore chazal, things in the Gemara. They don't ask for the ikarim. We're here during these days to ask Hashem to forgive us for our sins. Then we like to embellish our prayer, grant us long life, grant us refuah, grant us health, grant us this, grant us that. And then we ask for other things as well. The pizmonim are just poetry. They deal with things which are off the topic. That's in fact why they're not so important. And that's why they're called pizmon. Pizmon comes from the word pizira. Pizira means to spread. It's distracting. The pizmonim are distractions. Distractions taking us away from the ikur focus of what slichas are all about, which are slicha or mechila. I'll read you the words over here. Right? This is the word of the primogodim. L'chein b'slichas techila b'vakshem mechila u'slicha al hachatoim. We first ask for forgiveness. V'yachar kach, and afterwards mevakshem parnosa ka'oni b'pesach ha'mevake yesh derech nedova v'gam ein onu zakoin mevakshem ki k'shem sha'ato. I don't really say it right. The same with, then we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we don't really deserve, still grant us ki k'shem sha'ato mefazer lakol. I said different interpretation. I must have misunderstood it. But he says, see, that pizma means even if we do not deserve, we do not deserve life, we do not deserve to be forgiven, it is your midah Hashem to be mefazer, to disperse, just to give anyone that comes to do the bangs on the door, you'll give them a donation. You mefazer your money, you mefazer your bracha. We ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give us not in our merits, but due to the fact that you are a very generous Ribbono Shel Olam, where you give away everything to everyone that comes in. Ki k'shem sha'atam lefazer lakol kein tein gam lanu. K'derech ani shebo levakesh meha osher mamon, shem ein hu machnias atzmai koidem oz ein osher noisim leklum. If the ani does not humble himself, the osher does not give him any money. Aval im hu machnias atzmai koidem, if the ani humbles himself, mevakesh mimenu mechilo, emoz shloik oige nachach hu mevakesh menu b'teras nedova, the rich man gives to the person very generously. All right, that is the translation of Pizma in Lashon of Pizira. Okay, now we come to the Piyutim. Now, in this Sefer, Moyadim L'Simcha is written by Rabbi Tuvia Freund. He has a long discussion about the harsh words of the Ibn Ezra. We all know the Ibn Ezra was one of the Rishonim. Ibn Ezra was either the son-in-law or the father-in-law of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. The famous Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, either he was a son-in-law, or was, I don't know, some say, I think a son-in-law, some say it was his father-in-law, but they were related. In his parish on Koheles, the Ibn Ezra takes to task the Kalir, and he has some very harsh words concerning that we should not say piyutim. And he gives mainly four reasons why we should abolish all piyutim. Again, this is the holy Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra, what he writes here is V'roish Hamis Nagdim against piyutim, who? Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra. And his words are found in Koheles, Perek Hey, Pasuk Aleph, Ala Pasuk, Al Tivahel Al Picha. Do not be quick with your mouth. Libucha Al Yimar Lohitzi Davar Lefnehu Lakim. He writes, Kosaf, Shechai Vodam Kishayispalo Sheyishma Pishe Pith. When you pray to Hashem, guard what comes out of your mouth. V'yachshay believer Shu Oimel Lefne Melech Lefne Melech Shabiyod Lahachdiyos Lahamis. Al kain osur sheyispal adam yachnes v'sech tefiloso piyutim. Ibn Ezra says, "Watch your mouth. When you're standing before the Ribbono shel Olam, do not allow piyutim to come out of your mouth. Shelo yeda ikar pirusham, especially those that you have no idea, you have no clue what you're saying. And uvesoich devarav maskif meot. He's very critical." Es piyute hakalir. Okay, he's very targeted in who he attacks. The holy kalir. The kalir was, according to some, was a Tana. We don't even know when the kalir lived. Me'arba, he has four critiques, four arguments against the kalir. Number one, he says, no one knows what in the world they're saying. Okay, this is the Ibn Ezra. This is not us. Can you imagine us? Sheroy piyutov heim chidois. They're puzzles, mysteries. Umeshalim ashaloi tamid muvon hakesher liketiye hatila to the section of prayer. Uludugma. This is part of his criticism. Uludugma. This is everyone quotes him on this. Hakadosh Baruch Hu nimshal la'arye. There are multiple mamori chazal that compare Hashem to a lion. Kedichsif ka'arye yishak. Arye yishak milo yira. When a lion roars, Arye Sha'og, Milo Yira, Arye roars, are you not afraid? Hayispal Adam, did you ever see a person say, Baruch Ata Arye? Did you ever see someone say, blessed are you the lion? If someone would say, Baruch Ata Arye, you would throw him out of shul. What are you making a joke out of this? Baruch atah Hashem, have respect. How dare you go call Hashem an Aryeh? No one says Baruch atah Aryeh. Baruch atah Aryeh. Hayete v'nei Hashem. V'lom l'nilma me'shlema. Now, so therefore, it's not proper to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in riddles. And therefore, he says something very powerful. He says, look at the prayers of the great ones. Shlomo HaMelech, when he inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, the prayer is so simple, even a child in kindergarten can translate his prayer. At the time when he was in the Chanukah Sabayis, he was inspired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this should be a makam, a Beis Tzil L'Cholo Amim. The prayer is simple. Look at Daniel, his prayer to Hashem. Look at Ezra. All of the Kadmoinim in the Tanakh, when they prayed to Hashem, it was simple, it was clear. So who are we today to come along and make piyutim and prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in riddles that we have no clue what we are saying? The second complaint is that how can you say prayers in Aramaic? Most of the piyutim are written from, they're mixed with words of Hebrew, words of Aramaic, they come from the Gemara, from the Mishnayos. If you want to speak, you speak to Hashem in Mamaloshen. You talk to Hashem in Lashon Kodesh. You don't talk to Hashem in esoteric language, in language which we're not familiar with. Third complaint is, he says that the Kalir does not know grammar. That's a pretty sharp thing to say. He says he makes from the Zecharim, the Keva is Zecharim, verbs, nouns, nouns, verbs. The Kalir, he just does not know basic grammar. He did not pass, he would not pass according to Yeshiva Flapa. She wouldn't get through. He wouldn't pass the class. He doesn't know. Okay, can you imagine he says such a thing like that? What? Today he would pass?
He would have passed
today? Okay.
He makes things right.
Okay, the fourth complaint is that everything is you only should be mispalel al derech pshat. It really goes back to his first complaint. You're only allowed to be mispalel to Hashem al derech pshat. You're not allowed to be mispalel ein roi lispalel al derech pshat. V'lo al derech sheyesh lesoid. Al derech shemoshel or yikinyan sheyesh. Okay, this really goes back to his first critique. Is that you should misspell to Hashem directly, not through Mishalom. Okay, so this is a very important thing to be aware of, is that the Ibn Ezra is extremely critical of the Kalir for his invention of Piyutim. It's you speak to Hashem Berach Pshat. It's not respectful to speak the Kadosh Baruch Hu Derech Mashal. The grammar is incorrect. The language is incorrect. This is not a way to daven. Who else is part of the team of the Ibn Ezra that is critical of Piyutim? Another very famous person that we know very well, the Radak. The Radak is Rav David Kimchi. Rav Dadak also, he writes in the Sefer HaSharashim. He wrote a book called Sefer HaSharashim, and he writes there very sharp words. A person should never deviate from the civil translation of the words. Kimoy she'osu k'tzas b'nei amenu hanikra'im b'shem paitonim or paitim. Paitim. He calls them paitim. Bekroivois asher chibroi. Bekroivois. They have authored kroivois. Kroivois is another word for piyutim. Asher chibro. Vuhu chait godol alehem. These people are great sinners. He's calling the Kalir a very great sinner by introducing into our liturgy these piyutim. Veham mispalel bohem. Anyone that recites their piyutim. Maskir avoinam is publicly making mention of their sins. Umechadesh avon laatzmo, and himself is a sinner. So when you come and you say slichos or kinois or all of these things that we say the piyutim, you're a sinner. Rav David King, the famous Radak. Maskir avoinam umechadesh avon liatzmo. Hamokom yatzilenu mi michshol haloshon, may the Ribbono shel Olam save us from them. You hear such powerful words? The bilti nichshol bo shaygem. V'chein shol David olav hashalom, and then he says that David Hamelech did not go for this. He said if David Hamelech was alive, look, Tehillim is no piece of cake either. Okay, but he says if David Hamelech was alive, he would not be happy with these payatim. Hashem sefosai tiftachu fi yagit hilasecha. David said, Hashem, open up my lips. And these people, they wrote things who seal our lips. So Radak has joined the Ibn Ezra in being extremely harsh and critical of the Paitanim, specifically Rabbi Eleza HaKalir. There's a third very famous Rishai. Now it's a little bit controversial if he really came to argue, and that is Rabbeinu Bechaye. Some pronounce Rabbeinu Bachya, two different ways to pronounce him. Also one of the Kadmonim, one of the Rishonim. He also says in Sefer Chovos HaLevavos B'Shach HaYichud. He writes, "Neged the Paitanim, Sheker Havoiduhu Sheischavna them Lasas Nachas Shukh Yisrael." The like they limtzechem bein bina. He says, "All these Paitanim, they wrote the piyutim to impress their fellow man. Okay? They're talking to themselves. When you read a Python, who is the Python written for? Like I told you, Lahavdil with Rush Limbaugh, who are they talking to, the anchorman? They're talking to themselves. They're using 1 million people, they're using 3 million Americans just as a means to compete with themselves. Right? There are 50 anchormen, they're competing with themselves. So who are the Pythonim really talking to? I told you, this is what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. They're talking to themselves. You think you can make a piyut, I'll outdo you. And we, the audience, the Hamoinam, who are reciting the piyutim, have been used by the Baitonim to talk to themselves to impress one another. These are shocking things to say about the Kalir. But that's what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. They write, Lefish Iker Ho'avoyda Hi, Sheyeschad Namas Nasrili, what you're supposed to do is impress Hashem. V'loike de Limsa Chayin, to find favor, Be'enei B'nei Adam. V'chayneh, V'chol Mishri Yeschad Namas B'tfilu Limsa Chayin, Be'enei B'nei Adam, B'kon Namas Pa'alim B'tzibor. Anyone that tries to find favor in their fellow man, like Balei HaChazon, like the Balei HaChazon b'piyutehem hachadoshim, people who recite these piyutim hachadoshim, lim sechein be'enei b'nei adam mibaladei hakel yisparach. The only ones that are trying to impress are their friends, and not trying to impress HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'enu mikubelas eitzel hakorei, and it's not going to be accepted by those who recite them. Okay, so we have over here the big three who are misnaged with very powerful words, Ibn Ezra, the Radak, and Rabbeinu Bechaye, all strongly oppose the recital of piyutim.
The shorter the better.
However. However,
that's only three out of
a million, right? Okay. Now, by the way, if you would not say the piyutim in slichus, no, the ikar, you don't say it's a very beautiful service without saying the piyutim. Think about it, what are you really saying? You say ashrei. Read the words, you know, not just then you say the kaddish. Then it says l'cho Hashem hatztaka. It's very, very long. L'cho, it's longer than v'hurachon, but it's all very simple. It's a collection of psukim, and each pasuk is more powerful than the next, and each pasuk is simple. It's simple translation. You don't have, there are no riddles, and then you can say keler chapayim, and you say the yud gimel midoy sarachanim, and then you say Kelmelch Yoshev, you could say Kelmelch Yoshev, and you say Shema Koleinu, and basically what you're really trying to do during Slichus is say Psukim, which have meaning. There's no greater thing to say than to say Psukim, which have meaning with Kavana. That is the Ikar Slichus. We today have got carried away where the Ikar has become, oh, today, what day? Today it's Monday, so you say this, and it's Thursday, and we focus on the Piyutim. And then everything else we gobble up. At the end is Anenu, Hashem Anenu. Those are very beautiful prayers. Shema Koleinu, the Anenus. Then you say Vidui. The Iker part of the Slichos is to say Machne Sarachim. The Iker part of the Slichos is to say the Vidui, is to say the Yud Gimel Nidu Sarachim, is to say the Pesukim. The Pesukim are much more powerful than anything which a human being can write. Everything else is just a riddle. It's a riddle. It's a nice... It's a koyach, and it's not the yigur, and it's all a part of this generation where we focus on the tofel and we forget what is the yigur.
If somebody's having the yechidus,
yes.
So with Hashem is a lot of.
No, you're not allowed to say Hashem. The best you can do is you can say it with the trop. You can lay it. You can say the entire pasuk. You're not allowed to start in the middle. You have to say the entire pasuk from the very beginning to the very end. And lechatchila you should say it with the trop, like giving Mavis Sedra. But otherwise, if you don't want to do that, then you don't have to say it altogether, because you have to say Yug is only meant to be said b'tzibur. Okay, so these are the big things. Now, however, many people have come to their rescue. A long list of Gedolei Yisrael have very, very strongly defended. Among those who have defended is the Maral.
I taught him this.
Okay, among those who have defended, they say the Zechor Avram. Okay, he comes to his defense. Rabbi, now I'll tell you who comes to their defense. Okay, I'm not familiar who all these people. There's a sefer called Zechor LeAvraham. It's a very famous person. Zechor LeAvraham, a Kadmoin. He very, very strongly comes to the defense of the Kali and the Pythonim, and pushes away the Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Akiva Eger. The famous holy Rabbi Kiva Eger very strongly says, don't take the measure too seriously. The Aruch HaShulchan, what? The Aruch HaShulchan, even the Rambam alludes, I think the Rambam Perush HaMishnayis alludes, and the basic idea, first of all, that the Kaliyah, not all of the people of the Kaliyah are so hard to understand. It's true, there are select piyutim which are very difficult to understand, but
maybe 800, 900 years ago, more people
understood. Even today, look at the Kinnas. The first couple of Kinnas from the Kalir are impossible to understand. They're really, it's a sealed book. Even with all the Perushim we have today, we don't really know what it means. But as you go further in the Kinnas, they get easier and easier. And some of them are like very straightforward, extremely simple. In the Slichas as well. Some are very hard to understand, but there are some that are very simple. They're very straightforward. So they defend whoever told you can't understand what it says. They're not all riddles. There are some that are riddles. There are some which make a lot of sense. Second of all, you should realize that the Kali had Ruach HaKodesh. Had Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore don't belittle what he says. As far as grammar is concerned, he knows grammar a lot better than you know grammar. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's a very sophisticated form of the language. He knows exactly what he's doing. Don't be critical. At the end, he gives a mashal. They give a mashal over here. I found this very interesting. Let me just see if I can find who gives the mashal. If a person is out in the forest, and at a distance you see a big torch, a very big torch in far distance. There are two types of people that derive benefit from the torch. Number one, a person has very good eyesight. A very good eyesight, so if you see a big fire ahead of you, you can use that fire already to see everything that you need to see. Number two, if you have a good set of legs, you see the fire. So even though it's at a very big distance, if you're healthy, you're young, you can run, you can use that fire, you can very quickly run to where that fire is. So he said that there are two different types of people that are very much nene from the piyutim of the Kalir. The Kalir's piyutim are like a big torch. If you lived in his generation, meaning close to the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it's like you have very good eyes. Then you can see in the piyutim of the Kalir incredible chokhmah, incredible secrets about the world. If you live at the time of Ikvasa de Mashiach, like in our generation, so that means you're very close to the coming of Mashiach, you also are able to see in the Kalir, in his words, secrets, or it's easy to understand things which allude to the coming of Mashiach. I don't know how that helps us. He says the Ibn Ezra, this is what Ibn Ezra was right in the middle. Ibn Ezra lived already at a distance from the Kalir, and he did not live close enough to the time of Mashiach to get the full appreciation of the Kalir. If he lived closer to his generation and had that Ruach HaKodesh coming in the wake of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it would have been like he had good eyesight. He would have been nene a lot more from the piyutim. If he was living in our generation, right before the coming of Mashiach, I don't know what this means because we don't really seem to appreciate what I sense. We don't seem to appreciate. In the Ikvus of the Mashiach, there is a very great benefit to the piyutim of the Kalir, which can be appreciated more so than before. The Ibn Ezra was Nishtahi Nishtaher. He wasn't living before the coming of Mashiach, and he wasn't living during the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So then the piyutim, they fell into disuse. There was some type of difficulty in fully appreciating the piyutim. That's how he explains it over here. All right, but many of the Gedolei Yisrael, they defend him very strongly. Of course, it goes without saying that it definitely is our minhag. We all say piyutim. The Vilna Gaon, I don't recall. I don't recall what the Vilna Gaon says about the piyutim. Halacha l'mayis, you know, Rav Chuda, they say from a lot of people, but they say from Rav Chuda also, is that toiv me'at shaloi bekavana meharbe shaloi bekavana. Normally it's toiv me'at bekavana Meharbe shaloi bekavana.
Take a lesson from Moshe Rabbeinu when he said, "Kelner refon Allah." That's all.
Kelner refon Allah. One thing I forgot to say: when they come to the defense of the Khalil, they say, "What do you mean? You quote the Shlomo HaMelech, and you quote Daniel and Ezra. What about Moshe? Moshe composed Oz Yashir. Doesn't make any sense. Oz Yashir. Can you figure out Oz Yashir? What about Hazinu? Do you know how you have to break your head to understand what it says in Hazinu? Shiras Devara. What about all these mysterious, things that were said? So you see that there is something to writing secrets in riddles and using them as tefillos and shiras to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't take lightly. Should not take lightly the piyutim. Piyutim are, it's true, it's mysterious, but we have precedent for writing mysterious things. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, he wrote Oz Yashir and Hazinu and others as well. So therefore, it's not something that should be taken lightly. Halacha l'mayis, like we said, toiv me'at bekavona, me'har be'shle bekavona, and certainly toiv me'at shaloi bekavona, me'har be'shaloi bekavona. So how many piyutim we say, you know, it's a balance. Today, it seems like years ago on Yom Kippur, on the Yom Ram, they would say a lot more piyutim.
Yes, it's right. No, it's right.
Today, it's become almost standard. They say less and less and less. More and more shuls are saying, for example, Birchas Kriya Shema. Birchas Kriya Shema, after Baruch Hu, until Shemona Esrei, it used to be every single shul they would say all of the piyutim in the Siddur. Today it's becoming very popular. They're not saying it. They're just saying of Baruch Hu until Shemona Esrei and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You daven slowly. You say the regular nusach. You daven slowly. Then there are the classic. No one's going to be taking away the Nistana Toikef. No one's taking away Leinu. No one's taking away. L'Avchol Ma'aminim. There are certain classics, but definitely the trend today you see is Toiv Ma'at Bikavana Meharbe Shloi Bikavana. Okay, we'll stop here.